Now I understand, from 1915 to today. I really do understand. This is episode number 795 of The Next Step, August 29th, 2024.
Hi, this is Susie from Any Shoes Ministries. Welcome to another episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Here, Father Vazgen provides a distinct and consistent voice for one of the most ancient of all Christian traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy, and applies it to our life today. Armadoxy! It's a way of life. And no, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Now I understand. Yep, I got it now. I shouldn't say I get it, but I understand. Now I understand. And I hope as we get through this podcast, you're going to understand too. It's like the ultimate question. How? How do these things happen? I've struggled with this. I've struggled this practically all my entire life. How could that have happened? You know, I'm a grandchild of genocide survivors. My grandparents, I grew up hearing the stories of genocide, of atrocities, massacres, deportation, and all the things that go with those deportations. The killing of the men. I have grandmothers, grandfathers who attest to these things. Growing up, I mean, they'd go silent as they were talking about it. Sometimes they'd change the language so we wouldn't hear the details. And always there's this question. This question that I never understood until now. How? Oh, no. I'm not talking about how did that happen. Yeah, you understand that there is evil. You understand that there are people who harbor hatred, who want to eliminate another group of people as an ultimate solution. Right? We see this. It's the ultimate solution, right? But how does the world stay quiet? That has been my struggle. Like, how did it happen, 1915? How could it have happened? Like, you know, there's Ambassador Morgenthau, the ambassador of the United States. He's stationed in Turkey. He's writing letters that are telling of the atrocities. And here in the United States, there's like nothing. Oh, yeah, I know there's a world war going on. Started, I think, the United States entered the world war, I think a year afterwards, after the genocide had officially began. And yeah, there's other things that are going on, but these atrocities were documented on the front page of the New York Times. Yeah. Can you believe that? And yet, life goes on. And I'm wondering, how did this happen until this year? I'm figuring it out. I understand now. How is it going on right now in the Gaza? How is it that there's a population of people being killed? There's a population of people that are being executed in a very slow manner through depravity, starvation. And the answer that they're giving is that, well, this comes in the category of self-defense. You know, there was like 1,000+ people that were killed that first night, that Hamas, which is code for the Palestinians, killed the Jewish people. And so this is payback. And you have the prime minister of Israel, Netanyahu, says, okay, we're going to take them out. And now I'm going to quote their law because it's one that we refute as Christians. Jesus said, no, this isn't the way. But anyway, I'll quote their law. It says, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So under that law, I guess, they're entitled to take out 1,000 people, right? Oh, yeah, that law is a maximum. It's not a law like, if you take a tooth of mine, I can take one tooth of yours. I can't take two. But this past weekend, they are now at the point of 40,000 people. 40,000 people have been killed, Palestinians. And they say it's Hamas. Yeah, okay. It's a convenient way. It's a cover-up for killing Palestinians, right? Yeah, you can say many things, but yeah. We ascribe names to people, so it desensitizes people to the idea that, well, they're not people, they're Hamas, you know? Because, of course, it's easier to kill a Hamas than it is a human being, right? You can kill a Hamas. I remember several years back when we had guests from Rwanda, and we were walking on the street, and one of these cockroaches came up on the street. And the lady that we were with from Rwanda, she screamed. I mean, unusual scream, not the usual that you do when you see something icky. And later we found out it's because, you know, during the genocide in Rwanda, they had labeled them as cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. So if you're a cockroach, what do you do to cockroach? You exterminate them. You kill them. They're pests. Dehumanize. Same thing. They call them Hamas. Dehumanize. These are people. And you know, when I say, and now I understand, I got it this week. I finally understood. How could these things happen? How could the world stay quiet while these things happen? Well, look, it's so obvious. Look at us. We're staying quiet. There's a genocide going on right now, but we're staying quiet. This week, we saw the Democratic National Convention, and we heard Kamala Harris, who got up and spoke about the new fighting machine is going to be lethal. Oh, we're still using these rhetoric. We're using the rhetoric that gets us votes, right? And the same thing on the Republican side. Yeah, we're never going to let go. We're going to be there. Okay. So how do you end these things? How do you end these? And I understand it now. People just don't care about these things because they're more consumed with the religious artifacts that are all around them. I mean, look, there's people waiting for Jesus to come. This is part of Jesus' plan. I'm serious about this. They're serious. I believe them. They are serious about this. That this has to take place because this ushers in a time when Jesus will come back. I mean, these are people that are taking the Bible prophecies seriously enough to make them believe that it's happening today. Forget about all the things that Jesus talks about. Like, don't worry about those things. Forget about what Jesus says, like, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Forget about all that. Yeah, they're sitting around and they're talking about this has to take place to fulfill a prophecy. Like, God needs us to do this. God needs us so that he could bring in the end of the world. Yeah, there's people calculating it. How does this happen? Now I understand. I'm sitting last week after a sermon I gave at a local church. I spoke about the necessity for us to wake up as Armenian Christians. I mean, that's important. It's a Christian issue, which I guess I need to say that again right now, so no one misconstrues this as being some political campaign I'm on. No, this is a Christian issue. It's about helping. It's about humanitarian. It's about peace. It's about loving your enemy. All things that Jesus said. Everything that Jesus said. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is what you have heard. By the way, that's a maximum. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And we say, what? Wait. How's that gonna solve anything? Well, you tell me how this is going to solve anything. Just killing people. You know what we're doing? We're just setting up the next five generations to hate each other. I mean, what do you think? You think after they're talking about, let's get peace. And this was really nice at Harris's acceptance speech. She talked about, we need peace right now. We have to have a peace accord. But we will always be in support and backing Israel, whatever they need. They can't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You can if you're a politician, and that's what they are. I understand they got to get elected, so they're doing. I understand. That's what I'm saying. I am understanding all of this. They don't care. They don't care. I've been saying this for how many years when Armenians got out there and going on the streets. The world has to recognize it's genocide. You know, the best thing that Biden did is he said, yeah, it's a genocide. It got Armenians to once and for all realize, so what? So what, he said it. Does that change anything? What has changed since he said it's a genocide? So what? Like, I don't need a president to validate our reality as Armenians. And so this is an Armenian Christian issue. We have gone through a genocide, and therefore we have a responsibility to be talking about it. And that's what I preached about a few weeks ago. I was at a church, and I was challenged afterwards. I was challenged by a lady who is from Beirut, and a legitimate challenge. She came up to me and she said, you know, you speak about these Palestinians. And I spoke about the Palestinians as being the object of this genocide at this point, and how we as Armenian Christians need to be more vocal about it, need to be conscious about it. And she said, you talk about these Palestinians. Have you ever lived with them? Do you know them? I said, no, I don't know them. You know, at the most, I've met one or two Palestinians, and one was the most recent one we did on Epostle where we had an interview. The Palestinian seemed very similar to my life experience with people. He had two eyes, nose, mouth. He was functioning as a human being. That's how I saw him. I didn't understand the Palestinian part, except that he identified himself as a Palestinian. Okay, so he comes from that area. Okay. So I was honest with her. I said, no, I've never really met a Palestinian. I don't know. She says, well, if you had known, you wouldn't have talked like this today. I said, in what way? Well, you know, we lived in Beirut. It used to be called the Paris of the Middle East. And I had heard that. I said, I acknowledge that. Yeah, she says, but well, you know, the Palestinians, they're just dirty people. They came in. They ruined everything. Wherever they have gone, they have ruined life over there. And today, I wouldn't even step foot back in my own home country of Beirut. And she went on and on and on, derogatory towards these Palestinian people. And I just said, wait a minute. When she did give me a chance to respond, I said, do you realize that everything you've said is exactly the argument that the Turks used to kill Armenians? That we're there and we're just ruining life for them, and so let's exterminate them, right? It's the same argument Hitler used. Let's exterminate the Jews. It's the same what we heard in Rwanda. Yeah, no, they're just cockroaches. Step on them, kill them, finish them. You know, don't I get it that these are people? You know, it's like this, the the reporting when we report wars. We separate people. The Russians and the Ukrainians, they're hitting one another. They hit a military target. They missed the military target. They hit an apartment. Like, does it really matter? I guess it does, because in war there are certain rules. You can hit a military target, and that's it. But if you hit an apartment or a hospital, oh no, can't do that. But you know what? That military, that kid who's fighting in the military and has gotten hit and killed, his parents are going to weep just as much as the others are weeping. These are people. We've put labels on people to dehumanize them, but I think even more just to distance them from us. And so we don't have to worry about it. You know, there's wars going on, and we just, you know, move on with our life. What was important yesterday on the evening news was that there's fighting going on in the Gaza. There's fighting going on in Russia, Ukraine. But at the end, what was the basketball score? The first football games are about to start. You know, we come back to, like, sports. It keeps our mind entertained. We come back to what's going on around town. Donald Trump took a picture at a cemetery, at a military cemetery. So all of a sudden now this becomes the focus of what we got to do. And like I said, I understand. It keeps our mind off of what we cannot handle. What we cannot handle. I am rereading a book right now, and I'm taking my time this time. I read this about 40 years ago when it first came out. It's called Passage to Ararat from Michael J. Arlen. It is, you know what? This goes with my entire thing about life. Life is just somehow, I think it's just backwards. When you have energy as a young person, they should put you to work. They should have put me to work right at the beginning, because, you know, instead they take you and they put you in school, and you don't appreciate school. You don't appreciate all that you have to learn. But now as you get older, you go, hey, this is really cool. I want time to read. I want to read. And I'm reading this book right now, Passage to Ararat. And he deals with this entire idea of, like, why is it that we have this anger within us? And it's very interesting, because he also deals with some of the emotions that he has toward his father. And then at the end, well, I won't give away the ending. I really highly recommend that you get it and read it. I'm sure it's available in libraries. If not, I'm sure Amazon has old copies of it somewhere. You can find it. 1970s, I think 1975, Passage to Ararat. And Michael Arlen, both him and his father, he was lesser of a writer, but his father was a very big writer. And anyway, he comes down to this basic idea that it is anger that we redirect towards ourselves and the self-worth. I haven't gotten to that point, but I have a feeling that's where he's going. It's something that I've talked about for several years. It's this idea of self-worth for the Armenian. How are we supposed to feel good, especially when we tell our kids there was a genocide that took place and it's being denied? And we promote that denial, right? We go and we ask people to accept it, and they just look at you like, ooh, what? You know, what do you want? Your kids to grow up thinking that this was a made-up thing? Okay, now you got the president to accept it, and what changed? Anyway, fascinating book, and he kind of gets into a lot more of the psychology of it than I have time to explain right now, but it really got me to think. But for today's conversation, I now understand. How could the world look on as a genocide is happening? Well, it's easy. They close their eyes. They close their mouth. They close their ears. If you see no evil, If you hear no evil, then you won't speak any evil. And that's how simple it is. Just tune yourself out. There's genocide going on in the world? Yeah, okay. It's not me. It's happening somewhere else. I have my basketball team. I have my nice car. I'm doing okay. I'm comfortable. Maybe if you play with my heartstrings a little bit, maybe I'll write out a check for something. The Red Cross, they get to everybody. Let's send out a check to Red Cross and make myself feel good. Anyway, it's a wake-up call for me. And it's sad. Because I don't want to admit this. I've never admitted this in my life. I never admit that there isn't a solution. But I'm looking around. That's what it looks like. People are just consumed with matters that don't matter. And I'm talking about the religious community too. You know, let's take a break right now. I'll be back in just a couple moments, okay? I always play a song right at halfway point. Just give us a little bit of time to digest. Be back after the song.
White houses in neat little rows contrasting against the sky. Tumble down black shacks over the tracks. Children so hungry they could cry. Chrome, the steel, the metal dream, leaving the teepee to rot. The escapist young mind left behind, saving dimes for community pot. You better get straight. You better get straight. Is on 6 o'clock news and channels of full colored lies. The company meets, the president speaks, his young but his bones creak. Young girl dresses for the high school dance and the guy next door is dying for a beat. Get straight! Bible in the drawer of the motel room and it's crying out to be read. But it stays right there collecting dust, no one understands what's being said. Lovers make love in concrete boxes, what will tomorrow bring? They've been told that it's wrong but they don't give a damn, soon another life it will bring. You better get straight, baby.
One of my favorites, it is from Eric Burdon and the Animals, called White Houses. And this is 1968-69. It's during the a period where there were wars going on, and there was a need to answer to, are we comfortable in our White Houses? Anyway, it's a fantastic song. If you get a little bit of chance to listen in, follow the lyrics, there's a lot of history going on in there. Eric Burdon and the Animals, White Houses. I'll have a link on today's show notes. Very conscious about these issues borderlining on politics. And I don't make any excuse for this. These are not political issues. These are humanitarian issues. And it's just a very simple thing. Where would Jesus be? What would Jesus be doing? It's so simple when you think about it. You ask yourself, if you want to measure anything, ask yourself the Jesus question. It used to be, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? Right? He sees two people and they're arguing. Would he go in there and settle the argument? Well, you don't have to think, would he? You don't have to think, would he? He did, okay? That's what his life was. He came and he shared with us a message of peace, of love, of hope, of understanding. Yeah. And he gave us some insight in what the divine is about. It's about that peace and understanding. It's about that harmony here in this world. And so, real simply put, where would Jesus be right now? Where would Jesus be in this world today? And all the most difficult spots there are, right? He'd be helping people. He'd be healing people. He'd be sharing with people, giving them hope and understanding. You want to take it a little bit more? Who would Jesus bomb? Like, imagine he's sitting in an airplane. Yeah, with bombs underneath in the cargo bay. Now he's going to press the button to see who he's going to bomb. Well, would he bomb the Russians? Would he bomb the Ukrainians? Would he bomb the Palestinians? Would he bomb the Jews? No, nobody, right? Because they're all his children. Ah, now we're starting to understand. We're all his kids. We are all like that Palestinian guy that I described. We have eyes, we have nose, we have mouth. Yeah, some of them don't look like the others. Some of them are missing a few teeth here and there. But basically, that soul is the same. We're the same people. And it's that understanding that we are all people. A couple weeks ago, I had to do another funeral for a tragic funeral. Young lady who had been with us for a few years, her lifetime. And she had touched our hearts in many, many ways, but her time had come. And you start thinking, like, okay, the time was too soon, but you knew it was coming. Her father described it as a train wreck, a 10-year train wreck. You know it's coming. You know it's going to come. It's a train wreck that's going to happen. It was a very appropriate metaphor. That's going to happen. Okay, but what did you do in that 10 years? Here's a little girl who had very limited communication skills, but boy, was she able to talk to us. Yeah, not with words, but with love. With her smile, with her sharing, with her laughter. And, you know, there was a little something that I remembered, and I just had to share this. And that was the idea of Zvartnots. I don't think people really understand that they could, the name of the Yerevan airport is Zvartnots. The reason why they call it Zvartnots is because its proximity is right there. There was a ancient Armenian church, I believe it's 6th century, I could be wrong, called Zvartnots. And if you look at it, it's really different. It's circular. It's circular, and it builds one on top of the other, one dome on top of the other. It's really unique. And architects have made models of it because the ruins of Zvartnots are still there. And you can still walk through it. And now I believe it's turned into a movie set. They make movies. They take pictures there because the actual ruins, those huge boulders, are still there in various forms, sitting one on top of the other and everything. But the architects have always wanted to reconstruct it, but they haven't. And I thought to myself, yeah, okay, they reconstructed these models, but they can't reconstruct the entire thing because maybe we have to admit that it's beyond what we can do as humans. And the trick in this is the name, Zvartnots. Zvartnots means the resting place of the angels. It's the resting place of the angels. That somehow you can't do that with human hands. You can't do that with human experience. But God can. God has made this beautiful place, using humans to make this beautiful place. And if God uses us in different ways, one to construct, another to be in limited form, be able to bring people together, who are we to destroy that life? Who are we to say that one life is better than the other? And so it is a Christian issue. The entire idea of war and the ultimate war being genocide is uniquely a Christian issue. I'm going to leave it there, okay? Give you a little bit of time to think. I'd love to hear from you, but let me also go on a personal note right now. You know, the last few months have been very, very difficult for us because, you know, we're transitioning into this epostle life that we now have started. We started 2 years ago. This September, it'll be 2 years that we kicked it off. And I'm very proud to say the accomplishments that we have are many. You could see them. If you haven't been to the website, you got to take some time and really look through all of the different projects, especially now our latest one is producing in different languages. Getting this message out, the message of Armadoxy out to the world in different languages. And, you know, it reminded me of when I first started this entire thing. It was back in Cupertino when I was serving there, and we had the SANE, St. Andrew Information Network. It was the first Armenian bulletin board service, electronic bulletin board service. And you know what prompted it? Well, not only my love for the computers and technology at that time, you know, and as a young guy, but what really did it was this flyer that I had received. I was the priest at the church in Cupertino, St. Andrew, and I received this flyer, which I don't know if you remember, there used to be these 900 numbers. I don't even know if they still exist, but anyway, you would pay to get a message. Okay, so you'd call up this 900 number, and there'd be different things people would talk about. And there was a guy who discovered that, you know, he could make a little money by sharing information about Armenians. And he says, do you want to know about Armenians? Would you like to know about their history? Would you like to learn more about the character and the thing? And it's a flyer. Yeah, I got it. And he says, call this number. And it's a 900 number. And, yeah, it was a, I don't know, a few bucks at the time. I don't know what it cost. But my curiosity got to me, and I called it up. And it was a recording. It was a recording of a guy talking about all the things Armenians are noted for and what great people Armenians are. Except it was all in Armenian. It was a way, that was my wake-up call, that, oh, what? That's like building an Armenian museum in Glendale, right? Like, Like, we don't know this. We don't know this about Armenians. Like, you're telling Armenians about Armenians. The idea is, let's get it out to the rest of the world. There's a world out there that needs to hear about the resilience, about this incredible people. And that's when we started. I started the network back then. And it's been my driving force. I always remember that story. It was a flyer. And it was written in English. It was like appealing to an English-speaking audience. You know, learn about Armenians. Okay, here, I'm ready to do it. I'm investing some money, too, to learn about them. Like a little class. And I get it. And it's in Armenian. It's a guy telling me how great Armenians are. Okay. What we did is we started producing these in different languages. And people ask me, why Korean? Well, you know what? Korean was the language. I think we're doing I don't have it in front of me. It's English, Spanish, French. Yeah, French and Korean. And people ask, oh, Korean, where do you get that from? And by the way, these are all artificial intelligence assisted, AI assisted translations. And they're really, really good translations. And we say it right off the bat. If you go to the website, epostle.com, go to the international page, we say it straight off that this is about using artificial intelligence to get the message out. We are not showcasing the technology. We're showcasing our message to different languages. We're not making any claims that we know the language, we've mastered the language to get this message out. No, it's artificially prompted. Okay, so we've got the Korean, because when we went to Armenia back in 2014, that was like the biggest presence of Armenian, of tourists were from Korea. It turns out big congregation of Christians come to Armenia to learn about the ancient Christianity, the OG Christianity. So why not reach them in a language that they understand? So that was the reason for Korean, the French, the Spanish. Spanish, we have so many people down in Central and South America. And of course, our diocese, the Western Diocese, includes Mexico. So that was a necessity. And we have the French and Russian, of course. Russian, I was surprised. I thought we'd get more hits than we have gotten. But anyway, it is still in its infancy stage. But I invite you to come and see it. So we've been doing a lot of stuff like that. We've also been doing the daily messages, which have been challenging time-wise. But I've got to tell you, just as the next step has always been cathartic for me, And I think today you'll know why after the topic today. But in a very real sense, doing the daily messages are just so psychologically satisfying for me. And I really appreciate them. And I appreciate the people that are listening in on that. So just a lot of time and how we manage that time. The next step has had to be a sort of like, I don't want to say a back step. But it's been in the background, on a back burner. So without burning that foot, we're taking a step forward. Hopefully we're going to be able to do this once a week and get back on track. But we will condense it, get into a smaller format, maybe deal with the song and things like that. But for what it's worth, right now, happy to do it. Please get on our website, epostle.net. And check out all the stuff that we have going on right now. I'm going to call it a day right now. Here's Susie to tell you a little more. I'll be back.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie, for the announcement, and thank you all of you for putting up with me, for supporting what we do over here. Check us out at epostle.net. You'll find all of the stuff. Everything is there, ready, and accessible for you. On behalf of this wonderful crew, Susie, my producer, and myself, this is Father Vazquez, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. I'll say next time to be sure, but next week. Happy birthday, Sona. Barajan, Baba.
By for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.